Balance Grove, Emerald Grove, Cedar Grove, Union Grove, Soldiers Grove, Hales, Carter, Slades, Carter, Abel's, Carter, Newber, Carter, Piper'sville, Pittsville, Deansville, Deansville, Reeseville, Janesville, Platteville, Orphanville, Fortville, Blanchville, Plainville, Plainfield, Nutterville, Butternut. I've been over there. Hey, smell that dairy.
Good morning. John Munson in for Joy Cardine. Normally, this is where you tell Joy where to go. Today, you get to tell me, and in just a few minutes, we'll welcome Stephanie Klett, Wisconsin Department of Tourism Secretary, to talk about snowmobiling in the state. But first, our Wisconsin Life segment for this week. Rocks are the backbone of the Pinoki Range. Washburn-based photographer Bob Gross is trying to give these not-often-seen pieces of the land a close-up. Gross worked with Northland College Geosciences professor Tom Fitz to create an exhibit of photographs. Danielle Kading with Northland College radio station WRNC brings us the story of what Gross calls the bones of the land.
I think an interesting metaphor, an interesting way to think about what the bedrock or the rock structure, the geology of a place is that it's the bones of the land. It's what makes up the structure. It creates topography. It does all these underlying things, but we often don't see it. But it has this profound effect on soil and plant life and all these other things. Everything is based off of that. I think that's an important thing for people to know about and to understand. And that's sort of part of why I was interested in this, is to kind of provide a window for people to access that information.
So what I did is I gave him rocks that are representative of the Pinoki Range, going from the oldest rocks in the south across the range, across the big ridge there, which is the Iron Formation, and then down to the north side where we get into Tyler Formation, which is a black shale or a black slate, and then into the volcanic rocks above that. And we have great geology here, interesting stuff, and Bob does a great job with photography. So his photographs are great, the way he zoomed right in, and you can see the textures and structures in these rocks very nicely.
You know, to be honest, I went into this knowing very little about geology. I probably still know very little about geology. And I approached it much more from an artistic standpoint of accurately capturing those things, but in a beautiful way. And I've a lot of times seen Tom pull his little glass loop to look at stones up close, and that just seemed like a great way to photograph them too, is to really pull things up close so you can see that tiny structure and that texture and that color that we probably ignore a lot of the time when we walk past and we're not getting down on our hands and knees and we're not looking close. And those things, they're drastically different. That was the thing that was kind of amazing.
I like the way he used the lighting. You know, he got the light from different angles and got in close.
And that, for me, was a big learning experience on this project, too. You know, I've done a lot of photography of people and of larger objects, and working on something this small was a real challenge for getting that lighting to work, figure out how to light really little things and still show texture and have shadow and light and all those things that make a great photograph. For me, the biggest statement that I want to make is to show people how beautiful the world around us is, and for us specifically in this region, how beautiful our region is, and to show that little bit of crossover intersection between art and science, that we can learn from art and science can inform art, and the two can work hand in hand and they don't need to operate separately.
Gross's photo exhibit, Bones of the Land, will be on display at Northland College through the end of February. You can see images from the exhibit online at hiredlens, all one word, .com. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Find more Wisconsin Life on Wisconsin Public Television. The new TV series airs Monday nights at 8 throughout February.
It's winter time and the weather's fine, with snow on the woods and field when I reveal my snowmobile.
Well, snowmobiling has been a favorite wintertime sport for many people since the late 60s. In this segment of our 6 o'clock morning program here on Wisconsin Public Radio, we're going to talk about snowmobiling in Wisconsin with Stephanie Klett, Wisconsin Department of Tourism Secretary. Stephanie, welcome back to the Joy Cardine program.
Hi, John. It's nice to talk to you.
So, snowmobiling, with all the snow we've had, must be just booming in Wisconsin this year.
Oh, my goodness. It really is. And people are talking about, you know, is it too cold out for snowmobiling? Are travel expenditures down? And the answer is no. Our snowmobilers are hardy. They know how to dress. The industry is prepared for that when they, you know, make the clothing. So it has just been a fantastic year for snowmobiling basically in all four corners of the state.
Well, yeah, we've had a lot of snow everywhere. It's not just in the snow belt this year with kind of brown grass everywhere else. We've had tons of snow in every corner of the state of Wisconsin, to some people's chagrin, those who have to move it.
No, you're right, because a lot of times it's maybe the North Woods, you know, the conditions are great, and down south it's not so good. Some years it's just the opposite. But right now, you know, even southern Wisconsin and central Wisconsin, they're reporting good to excellent conditions. And a really neat place that I know a lot of your listeners know about, but folks might not think about for snowmobiling, is the Kickapoo Valley Reserve. And, of course, that's surrounded by the Okooch Mountains. They have excellent trail conditions. And it's really neat because the reserve is in the driftless region of Wisconsin. So it just makes for this incredibly scenic ride with the hills and valleys. So it's kind of cool with snowmobiling because, again, you get to see Wisconsin in a way you normally would not. And each part of our state is so different. But what I love is that we literally have over 25,000 miles of groomed trails. So it's enough snowmobiling trails to circle the earth.
Wow, 25,000 miles. That was the next thing I was going to ask. How many miles of trails do we have? 25,000 miles. That's amazing. Who maintains all those trails?
Well, you know what? For the most part, I mean, DNR, of course, is always involved in trails, but it's usually local snowmobile clubs. And that's something that makes Wisconsin really extraordinary. We have these clubs that are invested in it. It's their passion. It's what they do. So it's almost like a state park that has a friends club. These snowmobile clubs, without them, private citizens committed to the sport, wanting to encourage people to join in on the sport, are really the reason that our trails exist at all. And they're really silent heroes and pretty amazing people.
What are some, when we talk about trails being in good condition, what makes a trail good or bad?
And that's a good question. One, you want a trail with a lot of scenic beauty, where you have room to navigate, but you also need a great base of snow. And what makes it really good is if it's not just sheer ice. You know, you don't want that sheer ice because the driving will not be so easy, and at high speeds, you can really lose control quickly. So they look at all those different elements, but I need to do just a shameless plug for TravelWisconsin.com, because we have the neatest tool for people called the Snow Conditions Report. And so depending on the area of the state you want to go to, and we have like 130 snow conditions reporters around the state in all 72 counties, if you're looking at snowmobile trails, click on the county you're interested in, and it will let you know what the base of snow is and if that trail's in good condition, fair, or excellent.
Well, that kind of brings up a point that I wanted to make. I mean, snowmobiling has really changed over the years. And, you know, every now and then we'll see somebody bring out some antique snowmobile and we'll wonder, good grief, did people really drive those things?
No, you're so right. I mean, you're like, how did they even run? How did they make it up a hill?
Well, they made it. They weighed about a ton.
No, they did. And they almost look prehistoric now. Well, yeah. And that's just it. It was like this summer I stepped on a really awesome Harley Davidson. Like, what do you mean you have a radio and walkie-talkies? And that's what snowmobiles are now. You know, they're comfortable. They're there for the long ride. They have heat. They have music. It's a smooth ride. It's like a Cadillac on snow. So snowmobiling really has evolved. And, of course, Wisconsin and tiny little Saner, Wisconsin, Carl Eielson, was the inventor of the snowmobile. So it's such a proud heritage that we have in our state. And, you know, I mean, we're the snowmobile capital of the world. In fact, Eagle River has the copyright on that. That's not just a slogan. They are the snowmobile capital of the world. You know, we're home to the World Championship Snowmobile Derby, which happened last weekend. 30,000 visitors from around the planet came to Little Eagle River, Wisconsin to watch 1,400 racers, and it was cold. But you know what? They dressed for it, and it's always cold that weekend. And, you know, we just have this great heritage with snowmobiling.
I can still remember the very first snowmobile race I was ever at. It was up in Hayward, and my father was doing a live radio broadcast of it. It was cold, but there were plenty of hot dogs and hot chocolate. I have I want to give the phone number and invite people to call us and tell us, where's your favorite place to go snowmobiling? Where do you like to go, and what is it about it that appeals to you? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. We have Stephanie Klett with us, who is the Secretary of Wisconsin Department of Tourism. 800-642-1234. Talk@WPR.org. Talk@WPR.org. And you can also find Wisconsin Public Radio's Joy Cardine program on Facebook and leave your comment or question there. Bill Martins, my director this hour, tells me that when he was in high school, he bought a 1972 Arctic Cat Cheetah for $200. He saved up paper route money to buy it. His dad, he and his dad fixed it up, and he says, no pun intended, it purred like a kitten.
You know what? If you're on that kind of snowmobile, you're the man. You're the man.
Wow. 72 Arctic Cat. I knew somebody who was in on the start of that company and later sold all his stock just before it exploded. So 800-642-1234. I think we need to take a break here at some point, Stephanie, and come back. And when we come back, I want to make it a little more serious. Give us some safety tips for how people can stay safe on the trails. And we'll just take a short break, and we'll come back in just a minute. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Snowmobiling is a favorite wintertime sport for many people across Wisconsin, and with 25,000 miles of groomed trails around the state, there's always some place to go. We're talking with Stephanie Klett, Wisconsin Department of Tourism Secretary, about snowmobiling in Wisconsin. And Stephanie, one of the things I know we all want people to be out there on the trails is safe. Can you give our listeners some tips about how to stay safe out there?
Sure. And one, it starts with your snowmobile itself. So make sure your snowmobile safety features are in good working order. Don't modify your machine. How a lot of people like to maybe soup up a car, do not do that unless you are a professional, and even then they don't really want that on a trail. Always carry the minimum safety equipment on your snowmobile. So have a toolkit, a knife, spark plugs, drive belt, first aid kit, rope, waterproof matches, a flashlight, and an extra ignition key. So just add those items, especially if you're going on, you know, a snowmobile trip overnight. Make sure that when you have a child aboard, you're safe with them. You know, go a little slower with young passengers. Exert extra care. A lot of times you have to really avoid side terrain and more broken terrain because you don't want them bumping and falling off. Make sure your child, if they are with you, is sitting in the correct position. Because again, if they kind of move to the side, it can be easy for them to fall back or fall off. You know, clothing is important. Make sure I love this. I learned this in Bayfield with a company up there. They said it's all about moisture management. You know, make sure you're layered properly and you're not going to overheat. So, but if you get wet, that means trouble. Watch out if you're loading or towing. Follow the speed limit. Follow the rules and the courtesy. They do have snowmobile courses out there. And last but not least, it's a lot like driving a car. Don't drink and ride. You know, a lot of times when there's an accident, alcohol is involved. And also, if you're going over those lakes, make sure they're frozen solid. And I liked what your prior guest, Bob, said about, you know, the ice highway, the ice road in Madeline Island to Bayfield. You know, a lot of times things will look really thick and you're out there and they're not. And almost every year we read about a snowmobiler that has fallen through ice that looked like it could hold everybody, or they zoomed over just a little faster to go over the water and didn't make it. So those are just some of the really the safety concerns and things you should do with snowmobiling.
Probably also a good idea to ride with a buddy.
Yes, it really is. And that's just smart. and you know, have somebody right there who's got your back and who knows the trails as well. And it's almost like a golf course. The more you know the trail, the better you're going to do.
Well, so, you know, in winter in Wisconsin, you have to respect it, because the minute you don't, it slaps you right across the mouth.
You know, that's so true. And I liked one of the callers, again, when you had Bob on about the ice caves. She said when she was walking to the cave, the wind was at her back, and it was warm. And it can be. And then all of a sudden, when you turn around, you're facing a whole different, you know, the
right.
wind is cutting through you. And that's the same with snowmobiling. You know, you are out in the elements. And, yes, they're comfortable now, and they've got heat, and you're dressed properly. But things can change quickly.
And Bill Martins has this recommendation for me. He says, and don't leave one of those Hostess cherry pie things in your storage compartment unless you want a messy cleanup job when you're through. Not that he knows that from personal experience. Can you rent a snowmobile? I mean, if somebody's thinking about getting into snowmobiling but doesn't want to pour all their paper route money into it, can you just try one out?
You can. You can. And they have places all over the state of Wisconsin. Because I only get to snowmobile with time, maybe once or twice a year, that's exactly what I do. So there are places all over that will not only get you the snowmobile to rent, but the equipment. So you have the proper coat because, you know, a really great coat for a snowmobile can cost a lot of money. So they have everything to rent you.
Okay. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Where's your favorite place to snowmobile in Wisconsin? And do you have some great snowmobiling memory to share? That'd be great. 800-642-1234. You can also email us, talk@WPR.org is the email address. We're talking with Stephanie Klett, who is the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. Stephanie, you mentioned the snowmobile race, the big one in Eagle River, the World Championships, but there are lots of snowmobile races and other kind of festivals that are based on snowmobiling across Wisconsin. I'm guessing, just a blind guess here, that if we went to travelwisconsin.com, we could find out about those.
Oh, you could. We have 15,000 events that are listed, but there's some really fun ones coming up, if you don't mind me just making, again, shameless plugs.
Oh, go right ahead. There's nothing shameless about it. You get paid to do this.
So, well, and we just got to switch for a minute from snowmobiling to cross-country skiing, because they're all things that are on, like, little skis underneath, the old kind anyway, with the snowmobiles. But some cool things coming up for winter, February 14th through 16th. If you're in the north, you have to go to Ashland, because they have Book Across the Bay from Ashland to Washburn. And so it begins at dusk. And racers, whether you want a winter hike or cross-country ski, and they also have great snowmobile areas around that, around Shawamigan Bay. But you do this pass over the frozen Lake Superior, the bay, with 1,000 candles, you know, lit luminaries, and you cross it at night under the stars, and it is amazing. So what a trip that would be if you did that hike or cross-country ski across, you know, and it's called Book Across the Bay, which I love, across Shawamigan Bay. And then the next day, go see the ice caves. So that would be a fantastic trip. But there's one that I love that same weekend happening in Drummond, where it's called the Barstool Races, and participants decorate and race bar stools on skis for head-to-head competition. So that's a really great one. And
we have a phone call. I'd like to take that. Kurt in La Crosse. Kurt, good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning. Hi, thanks. I just wanted to comment that is a great website. I use it all the time to pull up snow reports.
Oh, thank you so much. You know what? We spent a lot of time really revamping it because, you know, there are different businesses and tourism places across the country that might put a lot of money into the site, but it's not very easily navigable. So I really appreciate you saying that.
So,
Kurt, what do you like about it?
So I live in La Crosse here, and so the last couple winters we haven't had a ton of snow. And even La Crosse it says okay, like there's ratings, poor, okay, or excellent. And then someone said, hey, go to Sparta. And then I looked up on your site, and you have Sparta rated or Monroe County rated as excellent. So I went down there last weekend, and it was great.
So what do you do on the snow, Kurt?
Snowmobile. I snowmobile. I used to snowmobile in northern Wisconsin when I was a kid right from our house, and I hadn't done it for a while. And I bought a snowmobile, and as soon as I bought the snowmobile, of course, we didn't have any winters. So
yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
This is the first real winter, and I'm super happy. And I bet there's a ton of snowmobilers that are happy also.
They are. They are. And thank you for saying that, because, you know, the people that are reporting those snow conditions are folks who, you know, they're in love with snowmobiling. These are people that volunteered, that work the trails, and that update those snow conditions report. So they're extremely reliable. You know, I don't want to say, oh, there'll never be a mistake, but it's folks that are out on the trail every day.
Okay. Well, Stephanie, we're out of time, but really appreciate you coming on with me this morning and talking about tourism in Wisconsin. Good job.
Thank you so much, John. Thank you.
All right. Stephanie Klett is the Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Tourism. Robin Cherry produced this hour of programming and handled on-air production as well. Bill Martins, the snowmobile king of Wisconsin Public Radio, was my director for this hour. We'll be back in about 6 or 7 minutes, and we'll talk about rock and roll. And then Joy will be back on Monday. So there's something to look forward to. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
On a snowmobile, we tip the glass to the northern lass, for she won't let you kneel, she'd rather squeal. On a snowmobile,